Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Is actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quoted in as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 3, text 6. Etaṃ sa āsthāya parātmanishthāṃ.
Etaṃ sa āsthāya parātmanishthāṃ.
Adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbihi.
Adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbihi.
Aham tarishyami duranta param.
Aham tarishyami duranta param.
Tamo mukundam grinya shiva yaiva.
Tamo mukundam grinya
etaṃ sa āsthāya parātmanishthāṃ.
Etaṃ sa āsthāya parātmanishthāṃ.
Adhyāsitāṃ purvatamair mahadbhihi.
Adhyāsitāṃ purvatamair mahadbhihi.
Aham tarishyāmi duranta pāraṁ.
Aham tarishyāmi duranta pāraṁ.
Tamo mukundam grinyasheva yaiva.
Tamo mukundam grinyasheva yaiva.
Translation. As a Brahmana from Avanti Desha said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who are fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 23, text 57, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated, in anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karoti yaha, sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word paratmanishtha means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratman, the Supreme Person, is Krishna. Ishvara parama krishnaha. Sachidananda vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a tridandi was paratmanishtha. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the Jiva Danda, to the three existing Dandas. The Vaishnava Sannyasi is known as a Tridandi Sannyasi. The Mayavadi Sannyasi accepts only one Danda, not understanding the purpose of Tridanda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanishtha, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyasa. although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyasa, namely Ekadanda, he still resided in reverse by the Brahmana of Avantipura. Indirectly, he declared that within that Ekadanda, one danda, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekadanda sannyas without Paratmanishtha, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the Jiva danda to the Tri danda. These four dandas bound together as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Because the Ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school are not devoted to the service of Krishna, they try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. They accept this impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Tridandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an Ekadandi sannyasi. This is due to their vivarta, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as an Ekadandi sannyasi. Indeed, the Tridandi sannyasi is accepted as the symbolic representation of the sannyasa order. By citing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyasa order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis, who are enamored of the external energy of the Lord, cannot understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To date, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following in his footsteps accept the sannyasa order and keep the sacred thread and tuft of unshaved hair. The Ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavadi school give up the sacred thread and do not keep any tuft of hair. Therefore, they are unable to understand the purport of Tridanda sannyas, and as such, they are not inclined to dedicate their lives to the service of Mukunda. They simply think of merging into the existence of Brahman because of their disgust with material existence. The acharyas who advocate the Daiva Varnashram, the social order of Chartur Varnyam mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, do not accept the proposition of Asura Varnashram, which maintains that the social order of Varna is indicated by birth. The most intimate devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Gadadhar Pandit, accepted Tridanda Sannyas and also accepted Madhava Upadhyay as his Tridandi Sannyasi disciple. It is said that from this Madhava Acharya, the Sampradaya known in Western India as the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya has begun. Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is known as a Smrityacharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, later accepted the Tridanda Sannyas order from Tridandipad Prabodhananda Saraswati. Although acceptance of Tridanda Sannyas is not directly mentioned in the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, the first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita advocates that one should accept the Tridanda Sannyas order by controlling the six forces. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jihva vegam udaro pasta vegam etan vegan yo vishahet adhira sarvam apimang prithivin sashishyat. One who can control the forces of speech, mind, anger, belly, tongue, and genitals is known as a Goswami and is competent to accept disciples all over the world. End of translation of this verse. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never accepted the Mayavad order of sannyas, and for this they cannot be blamed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sridhar Swami, who was a Tridandi sannyasi. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, not understanding Sridhar Swami, sometimes think that Sridhar Swami belonged to the Mayavad Ekadanda sannyasa community. Actually, this was not the case. This verse was chanted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon accepting sannyas. You would have to read this section to get the context. The context is the same as that of the Avanti Brahmana who left home to dedicate his life fully for Krishna. Now, this is the mood of sannyas is encapsulated in this verse. It's a very, very positive and firm asthaya, paratma nishtha, aham tarishami. These are all very firm statements. Recognizing that it's very difficult to cross over, but firmness that I shall cross over this very difficult ocean to cross, but at the same time, firmness, but by taking shelter of Mukunda. He's delivering me. It's not by my own effort. So this contrasts with the Mayavad idea of sannyas. Dandagrahena matrena naro narayana bhavet. It's almost laughable. Well, it is. It's laughable. The idea that just by accepting a danda, a man becomes God. And for all their big studies and so much shastric analysis, it's absurd. It's laughable. It's nonsensical. So the Vaishnava sannyas may have some elements of the Mayavadi sannyas. The Mayavadi sannyasis, they reject the world, being disgusted with it. So that may be for devotees also. The spiritual life cannot take place if one is still trying to enjoy this world. And particularly sannyas is to leave this material world and go to Krishna. So I may say, well, that's what you need to take sannyas for. You just take initiation. Vaishnava initiation is meant for that. And actually, although this verse expresses the mood of a sannyasi, it should be the mood of every devotee. You may say, well, what's the need to take sannyas anyway? It's in one sense, this sannyas initiation, it's not spiritual. It's within Varnashram. So, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he asked Ramananda Rai to explain sadhya sadhana tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it, Ramananda first offered Varnashrama charavata purushena parapuman vishno arajate panta nanyatato shakaranam. A verse from the Vishnu Purana in which it stated that by observing the Varnashram system and worshipping the Supreme Lord, the same as this Bhagavad Gita statement, that swakarmana tarabhyacha siddhin vindati manavaha, by performing one's work within the Varnashram system and worshipping the Supreme Lord, everyone can achieve perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this as external. Why is that so? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas, but it's external to his inner motive. He himself said, ki kaj sannyasemo prema nijadham. What business have I got accepting sannyas? My real wealth is prema, love of Krishna. So in one sense it's external. It's a material adjustment within the Varnashram system. But because Vaishnavas do everything for Krishna, then in that sense, it's not intrinsically spiritual in and of itself. But for a devotee, even brushing his teeth becomes spiritualized. Of course, taking sannyas is more significant than brushing one's teeth. And both of them, you take a danda, but the danda used for brushing one's teeth is not as important as that one accepts. In sannyas, Vaishnava sannyas is meant for surrendering to Mukunda. But then, this is the import of it. But then Vaishnava Diksha is also Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpan. This is the definition of Diksha, which is translated as initiation. At the time of initiation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one gives himself fully, offers himself fully. So what's the difference between that and sannyas? At the time of initiation, Vaishnavi Diksha, then that doesn't mean it's for women only, it's just in Sanskrit, the adjective preceding the noun. Diksha is a male noun, and so Vaishnava becomes modified to the female form. Or Pancharatuki Diksha. That is meant for the purpose of surrendering to Krishna, Sharanagati, the resolve to do so. Understanding that one requires to take shelter of a guru, to be guided on the path of self-realization, of self-surrender to Krishna, fully surrendering to Krishna. That is required. The sankalpa, the determination is, I must give my life to Krishna. So in essence, one offers oneself to Krishna, but at the same time it's understood that one has many, one is accepting initiation because one requires guidance to come out of the illusion that even though one may still be affected by, even though one has come so far that one is ready to offer his life in the service of Krishna, but at the same time realistically recognizing that I have contaminations from so many lifetimes, so I require to take to the process of Sharanagati, of the process, so that I may become purified. So taking sannyas is not required actually to formally accept sannyas, but it is required for everyone, for every Vaishnava, to take sannyas in the sense of fully surrendering to Krishna. Formal sannyas is offered particularly for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. That was the very reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. He was already preaching Krishna consciousness. He's already, even if we don't emphasize that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take him as a great devotee, he's already on the highest level in family life. So there was no need for him to take sannyas. But because he was within family life and others tended to disrespect him, thinking, well, he's just one of us, another attached householder. Sometimes he gets angry unnecessarily. They disrespected him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that, then I'll take sannyas. Then they'll offer respect. And then they'll listen to what I say. If they offer respect, that's good for them. So this might appear to be contradictory to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's central teaching, Trinada Pisuni Chena Tororiva Sehishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadaharihi. His teaching to always chant the names of the Lord comes with some advice to also, in doing so, to be more humble than a blade of grass, to be tolerant of all disturbances, to be ready to offer all respect to others and not want respect for oneself. Then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept sannyas? If he's accepting sannyas so that others will respect him, which seems to be quite contrary to the whole spirit of Vaishnavism. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, his external reason for his appearing in this world is to propagate the yoga dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. So accepting sannyas is his ki kaj sannyasemo prema nijadhan. So his what business have I got with this sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? My real wealth is prema, love of Krishna. But his external purpose, spreading the yoga dharma, that's very intimately linked with his inner purpose of himself relishing love of Krishna, but not just spreading the yoga dharma, but giving love of Krishna via the yoga dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. So sannyas was necessary for that, for preaching. So if a devotee has a strong motive to preach Krishna consciousness, then he may accept or should accept sannyas for the sake of doing so, because it's favorable to do so. It makes a favorable situation. Now, of course, one can preach as a householder also. And one of my godbrothers, just about 4 years ago, advised me, I'd already been in the sannyas order for more than 20 years at the time, to get married, because he said, you can preach among householders, which you can't do very well as a sannyasi. I didn't bother replying. I thought it was just completely absurd. But he said, you can mix with them better. So actually, in some ways, householders can preach among other householders in a way that sannyasis can. But then again, sannyasis can preach among householders in a way that householders can. They can lay down the line. Lay down the line means they can speak strongly in a way that won't be accepted. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't accepted as when he was a grihastha, because who are you to say all these things? But a sannyasi is respected, and Prabhupada says he's respected for his practical renunciation. So sannyasi is also a life of renunciation. Sannyasi is respected for that, particularly renunciation of sex life is for many householders something they can hardly imagine. Even in old age, they feel the need, even they're not actively engaged in sex life, but they feel the need for female company. But a sannyasi, by formally accepting sannyas, the sannyasi, he exemplifies the principle which all persons striving for self-realization must understand and practice. You can make a note of this for the sannyas book. I don't think I put it there. You maybe know better than myself. But the sannyasi, he exemplifies the principle of remaining, keeping the sexes separate, keeping male and female separate. This is essential even in grihastha life. Even in grihastha life, mixing with one's wife or even one's daughter is supposed to be limited. In the modern age, because everyone has fallen to the level of shudras or less, they think that... Because in shudras, they don't follow all these things. Actually, some of them do, that I've seen. But the lower level, they won't follow. They'll just mix up men and women completely. I'm talking about in traditional Indian cultures, I've seen it. But yeah, actually, even some of the shudras, they follow that. But grihasthas, also their association with women is limited. In modern age, they think, well, we should all spend a lot of time together. But actually, even on the material platform, that causes so many problems. The limited amount of time together, and even then, with certain guidelines and parameters, then it's possible to have a somewhat peaceful family life, in one which one may make spiritual progress. So the sannyasi, he exemplifies that principle of detachment from women, home, all these things. One should not take sannyas to make another home. Of course, the sannyasi may live in one place. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Puri, but he had one small room. Have you seen that room? Very small room. It may not be the original structure, but it's it's the same design. So to be detached from this world, particularly from family association, so that one may fully concentrate on service to Krishna. In householder life, one can also serve Krishna, but there are many extraneous considerations also, many, many things one has to think about and act in so many ways. In terms of, in the modern age, one has to think about income, or even before the modern age, in Varnashram society, one has to perform one's duties within the Varnashram role. There's social considerations, even learned brahmanas, due to social and familial considerations, can get themselves into an embarrassing mess, as we see so many times. Shukracharya with his daughter, and what an embarrassing mess he got himself into, and cursing his son-in-law, and so many things. Just even though he's learned, because of the sake of his daughter, he lamented that being tied up in this situation. So sannyas is meant to be free from all such encumbrances, so that one is free to preach Krishna consciousness. A brahmachari may also accept sannyas, as is being done today. And for a brahmachari, it's more like a continuum. It's not a major break. If a grihastha accepts sannyas, as we see in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Ramanuja, or Raghavendra Swami, or Sridhar Swami. There are so many examples who they were in family life and very suddenly they came out of that. So it's a major break. For a brahmachari, his life may stay the same in many ways. He should be already preaching, dedicated, austere. So it's an act of recognition to facilitate the preaching of a sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada offered sannyas to Adi Keshava, who was a brahmachari. I think he was 20 years old at the time, maybe even less. And Srila Prabhupada, recognizing his abilities, had made him temple president in New York City, the large building that they had at the time. And I heard this, I haven't seen it in writing, but I heard this, Srila Prabhupada said that unless I give you sannyas, no one will listen to you. Being junior to many of the devotees there, and junior in age also. So it formally confers recognition upon a devotee to facilitate his preaching. And then people are expected to serve, to take very seriously, to donate also. Myself, I also thought that I accepted sannyas. I was cleared by GBC permission to take sannyas in 1986. I didn't do so at the time, But then by 1989, I thought, well, I might as well, because I'm traveling around and preaching and writing, and all these things would be facilitated by accepting sannyas. People tend to take you a lot more seriously. So for that reason, I did so. And there is a difference, as I mentioned to Mahatapa Prabhu yesterday evening, that being a sannyasi, people notice you more, and you're always in the spotlight. Sanyashira alpa chidra sharva loke gai. Little fault of a sannyasi, everyone will broadcast it. We see here in India that people, they tend to very much respect sannyasis. But if they find that a sannyasi has acted in a wrong way, then they become very much against. If some ordinary person has some mixes up with young girls or whatever, that is considered bad, of course. But if someone is respected as a sannyasi and does so, that's considered very, very bad. We see here in South India this Nityananda so-called Paramahamsa. There's so much bad publicity came out against him. If he had been just some ordinary person, then... that's one point. He couldn't have done what he did if he'd been an ordinary person. Using the excuse of being a sannyasi, oh, all you girls, you can dance and play with me and kiss me because I'm spiritual. It's all spiritual. So because he misused that, that is not appreciated. So this spirit of sannyas should be maintained also. Otherwise, India will go down to the same level as the... Well, even in the West, there's some famous, what are they called in America, TV evangelists. They preach through the TV, heavy, hardcore evangelical Christianity. But then in at least one case, they became very prominent and respected, but at least in one case, their whole prestige, everything was lost, dropped, and people rejected. Because it was found out that even though this person, you know the name? Baker, something like that?
There are a few of them.
There are a few of them, yeah. Even though he was married, he was having illicit sexual connections with other women. Their whole prestige lost altogether. Although in Croatia once, in Lika, the parish priest came to our meeting with his girlfriend. And I asked Murari Gupta, doesn't anyone mind that he's come? You know, she was really dressed up like a witch, heavy makeup and stiletto high heels. And I asked Murari Gupta, doesn't the local people think there's anything wrong with that? They think, no, they think, well, it's human nature. He's also human. They feel lucky to have a priest at all. So few people are becoming priests. The Westerners went to Africa and India to preach Christianity. Now they're importing nuns and priests to run on their churches. There's no one locally to run them on. They're importing from Africa and India. And the Africans are going to... African Christians are going to England and preaching to the English to become Christians. So a sannyasi has to say these things. Who will take seriously? The sannyasi has to speak the truth, specifically, the truth has to begin with... You got that quote there? Can you show me in your... Okay, I got it in here. Sannyasi is supposed to speak the truth, which is often not very palatable. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, ma bruyat, satyam apriyam. One should speak the truth, one should speak that which is pleasing, but often what is true is not pleasing, so in such a case you don't speak the truth, you should speak what is pleasing. This doesn't apply for sannyasis. For them, their duty, they're supposed to be sadhus, and people are supposed to associate with sadhus and hear from them. What is that verse? Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. The saintly people, tatodu sangam utsricha, satsu sajeta buddhiman, and then this the last two lines. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. Those who have taken sannyas, they take the position of being a spiritual leader, of being a sadhu. And their duty as a sadhu is by their words to cut the mental attachments of people who are mentally attached. So one should associate with such, if one's actually intelligent, one should associate with such people. Giving up bad association. If we want to come out of this material world, we have to give up bad association and find good association. So the sannyasi, he takes a danda, which represents his dedication of his mind, body, word, soul in the service of Krishna, and he advertises on behalf of Purvatamaya Mahadbihi, the previous acharyas, that I am representing them, people are looking for sadhu sangha. I am performing that function. You can come to me. I am, as a representative of the previous acharyas, I am representing all that is good. This is satsangha. So an intelligent person should give up bad association and associate with such people. And what will such people do? They will cut by their words the material attachments, which may not be very palatable. There's within our movement at the present time, there's a lot of emphasis on how you have to speak nicely and be nice, to be good and nice and all this kind of thing, which is largely the way it's presented. It's a lot of nonsense, because the idea that we should just speak nicely. Well, that's what materialistic people do. In this regard, Mahatattva Prabhu sent to me a quote, which I'd forgotten about, which I wrote in an upcoming book, one of those many upcoming books of mine, about sannyas, which I gave him the notes to organize, as that's his dakshina for sannyas. So here's one quote from that, which I wrote. Making others feel good is not the duty of a sannyasi. His duty is to make them actually good by speaking the truth and removing the ignorance that makes people feel good when they are not good. He should not take part in the masquerade of social conformity that typifies the civilizations of persons dedicated to mutual cheating. So this idea that we just speak nicely, it's all part of the mutual cheating club. I make you feel nice, you make feel just like the Rotary Club. They all go around in a circle praising each other. They formed a club just because no one wants to praise anyone else, but they want to be praised. So they do something like they open a bus stand or something like that. And then they all praise each other. Oh, you're doing so much social work. You're running a factory, squeezing every drop of blood out of the workers. And then you build a bus stand so that they can stand in at the bus stand while they go to wait for the bus to take them to work. And oh, wonderful social work! It's so wonderful you're doing. So praiseworthy. So the sannyasi needs to do this. Bring me Bhagavad Gita as it is, please. 16th chapter, part 1. 16th chapter, text 1. You know the Abhayam. Yeah. So if a Grihastha says that, you say, well, you're also entangled. Who are you to say like that? You can't talk like that. You're also entangled. But so a sannyasi has to maintain his, has to be visibly disentangled from all plans for sense gratification. Then he can speak these things. Otherwise people won't take it seriously. Now, please give that. Small type. Okay. Otherwise, people, of course, they'll try not to take it seriously anyway, but if a sannyasi says it, then it becomes difficult not to take it seriously. When you see that someone's visibly on a higher platform, he's living a life without endeavoring for sense gratification. Why? Because he's got something better. Rasavarjan rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. He's not performing austerities just as some kind of torture so that he can get some mystic power, but he's happy in Krishna consciousness and not interested in anything of this material world. So he can speak like this, and people, what they need to hear, they can hear it from him, which they can't hear it from a grihastha, and mostly grihasthas, they can't say these things either, because as long as one is entangled with all these things, this, what is that? Griha, putra, dara, grihadishu, what is that? Abhivishanga, putra, dara, grihadishu, as long as one is engaged with sons and daughters, wife, home, and the rest. Anishanana Bhishvanga Putra Dara Grihadishu. As long as one is engaged with all these things, unless one is in a very high level of consciousness, it makes a cloud around the consciousness. So that one has to spend so much mental energy goes in family affairs, getting the daughters married, and paying the rent, and paying the bills, and so many things, one thing after another, after another, after another. So another important part of sannyas is fearlessness. In the godly qualities, which Lord Krishna mentions at this in the beginning of the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the first he mentions is abhayam, fearlessness. Where does that begin? Well, there's a lot of discussion here about sannyasis, right here in the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, there's so much about varnashram. Srila Prabhupada analyzes this, abhayam sattva sangshruti jnana yoga vivasati, in terms of varnashram. So, this whole purport is in terms of. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here, in the varnashram institution, the sannyasi, or the person in the renounced order of life, is considered to be the head or the spiritual master of all the social statuses and orders. A brahmana is considered to be the spiritual master of the three other sections of society, namely the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the shudras. But a sannyasi who is on top of the institution is considered to be the spiritual master of the brahmanas also. For a sannyasi, the first qualification should be fearlessness. Because a sannyasi has to be alone without any support or guarantee of support, he has simply to depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one thinks, after I leave my connections, who will protect me? He should not accept the renounced order of life. If you're thinking of opening an, what's that called, life insurance policy, a retirement scheme. Our retirement scheme is take sannyas. But it shouldn't be a retirement scheme. It shouldn't be, well, I'm getting old now. What am I going to do? Let me take sannyas, and then people will give me enough food so that I can eat. That's not a reason to take sannyas. One must be fully convinced that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect as Paramatma, is always within, that he is seeing everything, and he always knows what one intends to do. One must thus have firm conviction that Krishna, as Paramatma, will take care of a soul surrendered to him. I shall never be alone, one should think. Even if I live in the darkest regions of a forest, I shall be accompanied by Krishna and he will give me all protection. That conviction is called abhayam, fearlessness. This state of mind is necessary for a person in the renounced order of life. So going to the forest, that means leaving all friends, the protection of a village, and that means in the forest there will be lions, tigers, panthers, leopards, bears, rhinoceri, and snakes, and scorpions, and there also may be the robbers live in the forest. And you may say, well, why will robbers take a sannyasi? They may take him also, because they'll offer him to Bhadrakali as a human sacrifice. They may want to. They're also, in India, the robbers, they have their deities also. They're worshipping. Human sacrifice. Yeah, yeah. All of them, they all worship, they used to worship Kali, the thief castes. So, then he, the sannyasi, has to purify his existence. There are so many rules and regulations to be followed in the renounced order of life. One may think, well, it takes sannyasi, then I don't have to follow all the rules. But actually, sannyasi should be exemplary, better to be exemplary in following the rules, because, to set an example, exemplary, that's the meaning. Most important of all, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to have any intimate relationship with a woman. That's what everyone understands. That's why, at least in India, this neo-sannyas of Osho, Rajneesh, people didn't like it. What is this? Men and women married and they're calling themselves sannyasis? This is complete nonsense. There's no meaning to being a sannyasi if one has intimate relationships with women. He's even forbidden to talk with a woman in a secluded place. Lord Chaitanya was an ideal sannyasi, and when he was at Puri, his feminine devotees could not even come near to offer their respects. They were advised to bow down from a distant place. This is not a sign of hatred for women as a class, but it is a stricture imposed on the sannyasi not to have close connections with women. One has to follow the rules and regulations of a particular status of life in order to purify his existence. For a sannyasi, intimate relationships with women and possession of wealth for sense gratification are strictly forbidden. The ideal sannyasi was Lord Chaitanya himself, and we can learn from his life that he was very strict in regards to women. Although he is considered to be the most liberal incarnation of Godhead, accepting the most fallen conditioned souls, he strictly followed the rules and regulations of the sannyas order of life in connection with association with women. And as I've several times pointed out, even those avadhut babajis who don't follow any rules, except the basic rules, smartavya satatang Vishnu, to always remember Vishnu. We can particularly think of Vanshidas Babaji and Gorkishor Das Babaji. One rule they followed, they didn't mix with women. Everything else they were lax with. I mean, of course, they didn't eat meat or any such thing also. But their mode of bhajan was... they didn't follow so many Vedic rules. Gorkishor Das Babaji would eat whatever he had, which wasn't much. And sometimes it was Ganga mud from a skull. Things like that. But they were very, very strict in this matter. They didn't associate with women at all. So, continuing this, one of his, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal associates, namely Chota Haridas, was associated along with Lord Chaitanya with his other confidential personal associates. But somehow or other, this Chota Haridas looked lustily on a young woman And Lord Chaitanya was so strict that he had once rejected him from the society of his personal associates. Lord Chaitanya said, "For a sannyasi or anyone who is aspiring to get out of the clutches of material nature and trying to elevate himself to the spiritual nature and to go back home, back to Godhead, for him, looking toward material possessions and women for sense gratification, not even enjoying them, but just looking toward them with such a propensity, is so condemned that he had better commit suicide before experiencing such illicit desires." That's a paraphrasing of the verse which Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted from Chaitanya Chandradai Natak. What is that? Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya Parang Param Jigimisho Bhavasagarasya. That's the last line. Sandarshanam Vishayam. Sandarshanam Vishayanam Atayoshitangscha Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanato Piyasadu. So these are the processes for purification. The next item is Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti, being engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. Sannyasi life is meant for distributing knowledge to the householders and others who have forgotten their real life or spiritual advancement. The sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door for his livelihood, but this does not mean that he is a beggar. Humility is also one of the qualifications of a transcendentally situated person, and out of sheer humility the sannyasi goes from door to door, not exactly for the purpose of begging, but to see the householders and awaken them to Krishna consciousness. This is the duty of a sannyasi. If he is actually advanced and so ordered by his spiritual master, he should preach Krishna consciousness with logic and understanding, and if one is not so advanced, he should not accept the renounced order of life. But if one has accepted the renounced order of life without sufficient knowledge, he should engage himself fully in hearing from a bona fide spiritual master to cultivate knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada concludes this section, summarizes it. A sannyasi, or one in the renounced order of life, must be situated in fearlessness, sattva sangshuddhi, purity, and jnana yoga, knowledge. Many things to say. Many, many things. Preacher means, what is he preaching? Prem pracharan or pashanda dalam. Dui karje avadhuta karen brahman. Nityananda Prabhu is described as wandering here and there for two purposes: to preach love of Godhead, Krishna prem, and to subdue the atheists. Sometimes it's thought that, well, Nityananda did that, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only preached prem. But it's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went in South India, he defeated all the different philosophies. He's described as Pashanda Gajaika Singha, the one lion who can defeat the elephants of the wrong, of the Pashandas, all the wrong ideas. So the sannyasis in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sampradaya should be quite competent to represent him by being as strong as lions in defeating all the wrong philosophies, which, like elephants, they trample all over and destroy everything. And that's going on in the world. So many wrong ideas are there. Sannyasis are supposed to be renounced. They're called Maharaj, which means that they're the king, the controllers, means they're supposed to be the controller of their senses, not that they lead a very luxurious life. It is possible to utilize all kinds of opulence in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada showed this by accepting opulent cars, opulent apartments. So it is possible to live sannyas like this, but at the same time, it should be clear, as it was in the case of Srila Prabhupada, that he was completely detached from any such things, and he used these only for Krishna's service. Otherwise, if there's any doubt about it, then people will think that people become skeptical of sannyas, and they think, "What is this? as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, Karilam sanyasi hoi gelo bilashi. I made them sannyasis and they've become sense enjoyers. So one, renunciation should be visible, whether one lives very simply as a sannyasi. In the modern world, one has to travel here and there, so the walking sannyasi in a padyatra might be there, but more likely to go in cars and trains and planes. But the vairagya should be seen. It shouldn't be. There should be a noticeable difference between a sannyasi and most other devotees. Otherwise, what's the meaning of accepting sannyas? If one is still interested in packing one's belly with all kinds of palatable foodstuffs and you know, relaxing on the beach and all kinds of things like that. Well, I guess you could occasionally relax on the beach. And you could also occasionally pack the belly with foodstuffs at a feast. But it shouldn't be that one lives like a maharaj, like a king. Better. The vairagya should be seen. Mahaprabhu bhaktagarnaya vairagya pradhan jaha dekhi pritahan gaura bhagavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of God, is very happy to see the renunciation of his devotees, which is very prominent in his devotees. So, Hare Krishna. I'll just say a few more words. So, congratulations to Mahatapa Prabhu on coming to this stage. Diksha is always a beginning. It's not a goal in itself. Sometimes people think that you get initiated, okay, got my job done. But it's a beginning. In your case, it's a continuation of determination that you've had for many years to live in Krishna consciousness in a manner that others may be brought to Krishna consciousness and benefited in this way. I have several brahmachari disciples who could very well accept sannyas for various reasons. They haven't done so, and we should actually discuss how others may also accept sannyas for the sake of preaching, not for self-aggrandizement or for promotion. Although your preaching field is in an area that's culturally very different to South India, it's also appropriate that you're accepting sannyas here, because this the atmosphere which is being developed here, it is one of sannyas. In other words, devotees who are coming into Krishna consciousness here, they're being trained, whatever, whether they're brahmachari or grihastha or whatever, they're being trained in a mode of Krishna te kila cheshta. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna, which is real sannyas. Anashita karma palang karyam karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi cha yogi cha nani ragnena chakriyaha. One, Krishna says, who acts as he's expected to, he performs his duties without being attached, is an actual sannyasi. In the intrinsic sense of the term, not one who formally accept sannyas by giving up his varnashram or his grihastha duties and giving up connection with fire. That's one of the in karma sannyas. Grihasthas, they have connection with fire. There should be a fire always burning in their home. But a sannyasi has no connection with fire. That's karma sannyas. So this mood is being inculcated here, that we are here to serve Krishna. Mind, body, words, dedicate ourselves. It's understood if you're a grihastha, you can't dedicate in as much a way as you can, as the brahmacharis, but as far as possible. And even several grihasthas here, they've, while remaining in family life, their family activities have come to the very minimum. They're no longer making endeavors for earning money, nor having any social life, just fully serving Krishna. So in this sense, the whole essence is pure devotion service. Don't be a mixed devotee. Initiation into Krishna consciousness is initiation into pure devotional service. Formal acceptance of sannyas is for the benefit of others, that they may see an example of how it's possible to live in this world while being fully dedicated to Krishna. So without that, taking sannyas is simply farcical. If someone takes sannyas, but he's still interested in anything else except serving Krishna, then it's meaningless and farcical. So I'm happy to offer sannyas to Mahatattva Prabhu, who's preaching and living that everything else except Krishna consciousness is nonsensical. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. And there is much more to say. No doubt. There's always more to say. There's no end. So, sannyasis are needed to speak. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He made sannyasis, their particular service was to speak, to distribute Harikatha. He called them, Chalanta Mridangas, or Jivita, living Mridangas, or mobile Mridangas. Because for Sankirtan, you need Mridanga to make the noise. So he called them moving, so they have to speak. And Srila Prabhupada also wrote that the first duty of one in the renounced order of life is to make a literary contribution for the benefit of humankind. So, distributing Harikatha by speaking and writing. These are the main duties. And many devotees are doing also, speaking, writing, who are not officially sannyasis. But also, those who take sannyas, then they may be given some facility for that also. They may be sitting all day in a room and saying, what's he doing? But if he's writing, important service. Hare Krishna.